Survivor Secretariat recently announced the organization's 2025 ground search has begun for the summer. So here to talk to me about this year's search at the Mohawk Institute in Brantford is Secretariat Lead Laura Arndt and the team's ground search lead, Eric Patterson. So thank you both for doing this today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for inviting us in.
And Laura, I wanted to start with you just looking at the overall search for this year. Can you give us an update on what will be the focus for this year's search? And do you head into this year with any goals or benchmarks that you're hoping to achieve?
I think this year, the majority of our focus is really at the back of the Mohawk Institute. We are researching an area that had some disturbances on it. And so we need to redo the ground search, in part because of the ground search issues around the ground being disturbed, and in part because the initial data that we collected needed to be redone as the quality wasn't what we wanted it to be. I think always our goal is to be able to demonstrate to the survivors that we continue to try and proceed with the work. And our ground search efforts are to support our archival research to determine what children didn't come home and where there may be unmarked burials. I think Eric can speak in more detail to some of the goals he has with the team, though.
And Eric, did you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so we're actually going to be back at the Mohawk Institute grounds this summer. We spent the two previous summers at the Mohawk Chapel grounds, and it's been kind of a time where we've developed a lot of our skills related to our surveying techniques and such. Laura kind of got into it there that a lot of our focus will be on areas of the Mohawk Institute that have where the ground has changed significantly over the past couple of years. And yeah.
And in terms of like the day-to-day basis, what are some of the things that you're constantly on the lookout for? And I guess what does the day-to-day basis look like for your team? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from like kind of the day-to-day technical sides of things, one of the things that we're constantly monitoring is weather, because one of the things about ground search is that rain heavily affects the ability for GPR to even operate. Because you can get water into the systems and it can like pretty much mess up the machines. So we're constantly having to monitor rain, which for the summer so far has actually been quite an issue. It's been rainy, I don't know, every other day. We've also had a heat wave, which contributes to that. We don't really want our summer students to be out in the heat. So that's one thing that we're looking out for on a day-to-day basis. From more of like the data analysis perspective, we are kind of wanting to narrow our focus because as of right now, there's over 20 different traits that could be associated with identifying unmarked burials using GPR. So on that side of things, we're just trying to essentially narrow our focus on what we're looking for. And what does a day-to-day look like for us? So typically we'll have our summer staff come in. They'll have a morning debrief with their team leads. Usually this is meant for the summer staff to kind of check in with each other and make sure everyone's doing okay, because obviously this is kind of like, it's quite heavy work. And after that, we'll get into grid selection. So they'll choose based off of our overarching field map where they'll complete their grid. And then once they decide that, they'll go to that designated area, which all has these unique coordinates. It's all a part of like the technology that we use. And they'll set up their grids using measuring tapes and plastic pegs. At that point, they can start to establish their field notes and get everything filled out there so we know exactly where it is and identify any like obstacles and such that would exist within that grid. And then the remainder of the day is pretty much them completing each axis. So they're collecting lines every 25 centimeters in various sizes of grids. Right now we have 20 by 20 meter grids as well as 10 by 10 meter grids. So with like the with increasing the size of grids, that means also increasing the number of lines that would be collected each 25 centimeters. So it's a thing. It takes all day. It's a lot of walking, a lot of getting your steps in. And then following that, once the grid's complete, they finish up their field notes. And then they'll have, again, kind of like a little debrief as well as transferring data from our machines into our like computers and everything. And then you clean up the site and that pretty much wraps it up for the day.
And so in terms of the technology that's being used by the team, can you give us a little bit more? You mentioned the GPR. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what that is and how it all works?
Yeah, so we have the ground penetrating radar. So it is a geophysical surveying instrument that's used to identify changes in the composition of subsurface materials. A way to kind of compare it to other technologies would maybe be like an ultrasound. But obviously that's different ways of scanning the ground, because ultrasound, you're using sound waves, whereas GPR, you're actually using radio waves to penetrate materials. So it's used to map structures and features buried in the ground. So common applications would be finding buried utility locates, structural assessments, archaeological surveys. And then for our case, it's more of a forensic investigation. So yeah, essentially it's sending a signal into the ground. Once that signal hits a material, that signal will return back to the machine and tell you roughly how deep it is. It doesn't tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. It just tells you that you're essentially hitting some type of material in the ground that's different from like soil.
And so, Laura, I know that the survivors and all the board members work closely with you and all the organization's projects. But for this search, do they get involved at all with the search? And if they do, have you seen their response to doing that work? And their feelings to be a part of the process?
I think first and foremost, the survivors have been the key drivers behind the ground search. They're dropping by the site regularly. You know, I think one of the biggest champions of our ground search work over the years, two of them actually, have been John Elliott and Diane Hill. Sadly, John passed away in January, but he is still with us in the work. You know, they want the truth to be found, but they also want to be a support for the young people who are working on the ground. You know, when Eric first started with us, he was part of the actual youth team on the ground search. He's still a youth, but now he's leading. You know, the survivors came and they talked about what they remembered from their time at the Mush Hole. They talked to the young people about the importance of them being on the ground and helping in this healing work, and how important it is to them that it's young people from our own community that are helping in the work. The survivors have pressed hard. The two most important things for them in this work has been the ground search and getting access to records and documents. So we provide regular updates to the board. We have meetings with Eric's team and archaeologists who are partnering with us, Woodlands Cultural Center, Mohawk Village Memorial Park. So we're working very hard to try and ensure that we have a strong relationship with all the partners on the lands and those who are stewarding the land. And then we also work really hard to ensure that the young people understand just how important the work they're doing is, not just on a day-to-day basis, but from the perspective of history, that, you know, when it was time to bring the children home, it's our own community of young people who've been part of leading the work to find out where, if there are and where they are buried.
And just on that, and speaking on losing the former board member and residential school survivor, John Elliott, taking that all into account, how important is it for this work to continue and get done so people can get answers and start that healing process?
I can speak as secretariat lead, and then I'd like Eric to speak as well. It's critically important. In fact, this year, there almost wasn't a ground search initiative because our federal funding was cut last year. If not for Six Nations Health, we wouldn't be in the position we are to have a ground search team this season. And I think as we move forward, it is so important for this to be done, because these are memories and children whose families don't know what happened in some cases. And our work is about trying to remember each of these children to their communities and their nations. And by remember them, is we want their names and the records we have connected with their time at the Mohawk Institute back in the hands of communities. We want the truth and the memories of survivors collected so that communities, as they remember these children and bring their memories home and mourn their loss, can know that their names, the names of these children, can now be spoken back into the community narratives and the family narratives. So for the survivors, that's what it's about. It is the truth and bringing the children home. Eric, from the perspective you and the team have as young people doing this work, maybe you could speak to the importance of it for you guys.
Yeah, I think what we're kind of getting at there is that was quite a shock to our organization and our team when John had passed. And I think it speaks to the reality of our work, is that a lot of their survivors are aging and we're starting to lose them. And I think what's important about our work is this idea of building capacity within community with our young people And we got to make sure that we can carry this forward and make sure that our community remembers, and we can also use this as a way to heal going forward.
And just getting back into the ground search, did you have a certain area within the property that was basically a bit more of a priority this year than in years past, I guess?
So I kind of want to move away from the term priority, because I think all of the land associated with the Monk Institute is a priority and is super important. But yeah, there's been ways that we've been able to identify certain areas to be of interest. And that is with survivors guidance, as well as cultural seers, and historical records also contribute to all of this stuff. But yeah, that's ways in which we've identified certain areas that we want to scan.
And Laura, every time that we talk, we continually say that your estimates is that this project is going to take years to complete with all the ground search and research that needs to be done. I guess, how does this summer's work fit into the larger picture of the multi-year effort of this search, I guess?
I think each year that we're able to do the work takes us 1 year closer. But the truth of the matter is, we've still got about 550 acres that still have to be scanned. We have 140 years of records that we have to access, 24.1 million of which are still being held by Canada and not released. And in addition to that, we need to continue to speak with survivors. And as Eric has already identified, they're getting older. Many are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And there's a lot of work that we need to do in their lifetime so that we know how to do this work if and when we have to do it beyond their lifetime. But it's going to take at least 15 to 20 years, as we've been saying all along, for the technology to catch up. We do know that archaeology teams across the country are looking for new ways, new tools to process data. Eric and his team are working with GIS project management tools to track data, track records, so that if, you know, time becomes longer and longer, we'll have everything saved and available in files so that the next round of work can be picked up. We can pass the baton to the next group of young people who will be stepping in to help us in this work. So this is 140 years of history. I would say it's safe to say 15 to 20 years that we get a handle on whether we have most of the records and documents, and then getting a first round of wave of ground search done is critically important. But I think the timeline in some ways has to be attached to a framework around healing, that doing this work with the resistance of denialism, doing this work with the resistance of Canada and funding, makes it harder for community. So we're not just dealing with the trauma of history, we're dealing with the trauma of the present, because we'll constantly have to fight systems, social movements, and resistance from those who don't want to see the work of unmarked areas. It's going to be long, but let's just have to keep moving forward, pace that we can at least say we're doing good work.
And you touched on, I guess, the lack of support from Canada with this project, and with funding continuing to be an issue. Have you had any dialogue with Canada and the federal government on that and ensuring that you're able to continue your work?
We have written to Canada, we have called Canada, we have emailed Canada. We have had no correspondence from Canada since before the election. We did write to the new Prime Minister, the new ministers, and Governor General on Monday. And our hope is to have a meeting with the Prime Minister and ministers so that we can talk about a path forward. Our focus is always on the medicine and continuing to seek spaces where we can begin and start dialogue.
And just lastly, if you both want to chime in on this last question, what message would you leave with families still waiting for answers and with listeners who want to support the work that Survivor Secretariat does?
I think what I would say to families is we are not forgetting the importance of this work for you and for the family members you're seeking. And we will do, to the best of our ability, everything we can to bring your children home, including your family members. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, so in terms of that, again, this work is going to take time. And with that time, we want to make sure that everything is completed to the best of our abilities.
All right, Laura and Eric, thank you very much for doing this today. And best of luck with this year's ground search. And I'm sure we'll speak soon on any updates that come from it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And as always, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the work.
I'm Andrew Dow, and this news story is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, which supports the creation of original civic journalism.